Testing Limits on the American River, by Alice McGrath. Editor's note, Alice McGrath is no stranger to the BC. We have seen her convention reports, as a member of the Silicon Valley chapter, and her article The Best and Brightest Stars at the National Braille Challenge appeared in the fall, 2013 BC, as well as a brief article on the CCB Women's Group, BC Summer 2014. We were poised for entering our first class to rapid on the American River in our bright red, inflatable kayak, and my heart was pounding as I listened to the commands, from Dine, my sighted kayaking partner. Since I am almost totally blind, all I could do is hear the sound of the rapids as they cascaded over the rocks and feel the water splashing my face. I focused all my attention on what Diane was telling me to do, paddle left, paddle right, paddle hard. When we managed to get through the rapid without mishaps, my first thought was, yikes, how many more rapids do I have to go through before this day is done? Testing limits as a blind or low vision person can happen daily in small and momentous ways. On this amazing day in late October, I was with my significant other, Rob Turner, who was partnered in an inflatable kayak with his brother Doug. Rob is also totally blind, and he has been sea kayaking with our friend Diane for a few years. This was also his first experience river kayaking with his novice brother, and we were led by a river guide in her own hard-shell kayak. The temperature was a warm 82 degrees, and the smells of the river were wonderfully complex. River water, moss, and that crunchy carpet of autumn leaves. Our guide taught us the fundamentals and talked the sighted kayakers through the rapids before we entered each rapid. One odd thing about listening to a rapid and not being able to see it is they all sound huge. The irony is that smaller rapids can sound louder than the bigger ones simply due to the shallow depth of the water. Outdoor life is a valued part of my existence. I enjoy camping, hiking and being surrounded by the sounds and smells of nature. I also enjoy testing my personal limits and fears. Our foursome has camped and whitewater rafted with a guide in the past, and moving to the inflatable kayak was a natural next step. On our first whitewater rafting trip a few years back, I was thrown into the river and then promptly plucked up by the guide back into the raft, sputtering and shivering. I knew I did not want to repeat that experience, and in retrospect, that fear became a block for enjoyment. In the kayak, after we managed to travel through each rapid without mishap, I first felt relieved, then a little jubilant, and finally was vigilantly and tensely awaiting the next rapid. After the day was completed, I reflected on the myriad of emotions and thoughts that cascaded through my mind. Even before losing my vision, I would describe myself as someone who tested personal limits. Losing vision defined these limits in very different ways. Crossing busy intersections during early orientation and mobility lessons had my heart pounding as much as moving through the rapids of the American River. Once I became more proficient in my travel skills, other firsts pushed me to become the confident person I am today, a woman who happens to be blind. But what about future whitewater kayak trips? For now, I want to pursue sea kayaking rather than the fear and complexity of managing through a river. We are planning a kayak trip to Angel Island, and even if I end up in the sea, I will not be battling boulders. I know that every day brings opportunities for me to test my limits and expand my comfort zone. I also know that enjoying the great outdoors is more of a priority, and although I am glad I tested myself, I have nothing to prove, as every day will bring plenty of new challenges. An interview with former BC editor Mike Keithley, by Susan Glass. Ever since 2005, when I first joined CCB, I've enjoyed reading anything that Mike Keithley writes or edits. Whether it's his membership column in our SVCB newsletter wherein he sometimes banters playfully with the ghost of his deceased guide Dog King, or his occasional World According to Me column, he wins reader attention with his warmth and his contagious sense of humor. He's also current editor of the Braille Writer, and he does a pretty fine job of editing and formatting large print publications as well. I caught up with him for a phone interview early this week. SG, how did you become editor of the BC? Who was editor before you? MK, Winifred Downing edited the BC before I did. When we first began working together, she gave me a couple of articles on which to practice my editing. I edited a lot, and she said, "That's good, but don't change people's meaning. And watch out for comma shakers." She was fun to work with. SG, the BC is now 60 years old. How has it evolved in your experience? MK, I can't say that I regularly read BC issues before Winifred's editorship. Comparing my tenure and Judy Wilkinson's tenure, the current BC is evolving into something that is not too entertaining, and too narrow in scope. But this is not Judy's fault at all. The problem is that our finances for the magazine are poor, and we've had to shrink it drastically. Its content these days tends toward information, legislative reports, minutes, articles like that. SG, what are you most proud of during your time as editor? MK, while I was editor, we published a four-part article by Rick Boggs, the founder and general manager of Audio Eyes. His company has blind voice-over talent, audio describers and engineers, and they do live and recorded audio description. His articles talked about how to break into the profession. Also, while I was editor, Sylvia Lopez wrote a cooking column, and that was fun. And Debbie Norling Armstrong wrote about how easy it was to find cooking supplies in stores. She did other articles on shopping too. I loved Evelyn Drury's On the Lighter Side column. And I enjoyed writing short technology articles. Those are now tech tidbits in our Silicon Valley newsletter. SG, what thoughts do you have about the future of the BC? MK, devote one issue per year to new writing. Don't put minutes or reports or anything like that in the issue unless there's something urgent. Let the issue have lifestyle articles, humor pieces, anything creative, and as many contributors as we can get.